From Quality Radio Productions, it's the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from radio's golden age, coming to you from New York's Finger Lakes region. I'm Jake Longwell. Getting the hour underway with some classic science fiction, as we have an episode of Dimension X. This was NBC's first attempt at a sci-fi radio series, the forerunner to the much more successful X-1, which debuted in the mid-1950s. This broadcast of Dimension X, program 17 in the series, originally aired over NBC on July 28th of 1950. It's The Potters of Fersk.
Wheaties presents Dimension X. Adventures in time and space. Transcribed in future tense. Dimension X. On stage tonight, Dimension X, another in the Wheaties big parade of exciting half-hour presentations.
Just about the time you're getting up tomorrow morning, you know what's happened? You've been without food for so long that you gotta get more if you're gonna get your work done. That's why first you need your Wheaties. Sure, Wheaties. Because when you dip into those golden flakes, you're getting real whole wheat. Yep, every single Wheaties is a kernel of wheat. And you know what that means. Vitality for working well, feeling well, looking well. Whole wheat energy. Whole wheat vitamins. All the goodness of plump whole wheat in crisp little flakes that are mighty nice to meet any morning of the week. So be good to yourself. Tuck into the Wheaties at 7 a.m. and see if you don't feel the difference. Have yourself breakfast of champions and see how Wheaties at 7 can help at 11. Come on now, try them.
What will happen when man, finally conquering the galactic distances of interstellar travel, finds life on the strange worlds across the universe? Will he discover civilizations of incredibly advanced scientific knowledge? Or primitive cultures deep in a stone age of savagery. Here is a story of the relation between men of our world and beings from beyond the stars. On the desk stood a yellow bowl, the profile a simple curve, clean and sharp. The body was thin without fragility, and the beauty of its shape was matched by the glowing intensity of the glaze, a glorious transparent yellow, soothing as sunlight, yet glowing with the fire of a volcano's core. The desk belonged to Michael Tom, regional administrator for the Department of Interplanetary Affairs.
That bowl? Why, it's a souvenir. I got it many years ago on the planet Fersk. I'd been out on the Channel Planet in the Frontier Service for 19 months. When my transfer came through to Fersk, I was surprised to see that I'd been promoted 3 grades, and my orders read to report to the regional office as assistant resident. My ship came in at Penolpan Spaceport, and I was met by the office car and chauffeur.
Mr. Tom?
That's right.
I'm Wiracek, sir. Welcome to Fersk.
Thanks. Well, I didn't expect to find a 1992 Rolls here.
The resident had it shipped out in parts. Mr. Koval changes every year for the new model.
Pretty smooth. Hey, this is certainly different from the Channel Planet. Nothing there but ice, frost, please, and the dullest aborigines in the system.
Well, you won't find the aborigines very dull here.
What kind of people are they?
The Meituan? Well, they're humanoid. Very close to us systemically. Tall, sort of amber-colored and graceful.
Oh, is that one, the girl balancing the bowl on her head?
Yeah, she's a Meituan.
Uh-huh.
There isn't a very big human population at first.
Well. Looks like Mike Tom has found a home in the service.
You haven't met Mr. Koval yet, have you?
What do you mean by that?
Oh, nothing, sir, nothing.
Look, Wiracek, if there's anything wrong, you'd better tell me.
Well, there's nothing, sir. Nothing you won't find out. It's just that Mr. Koval is a very forceful personality. Very forceful.
Well, We drove through Penolpan, threading our way through narrow streets between rows of low houses of reed, parchment, and wood. Canals of green water laced the city, and the bridges trailed ivy and orange flowers. Suddenly, we turned a corner, and there on the bank of the main canal was a large concrete and glass building, earth-style. This was the district office, and in a room that gleamed with black plastic and glass, I found George Coville, senior resident.
You're Tom? Michael Tom?
Yes, sir.
My last junior took off for the hills with a dancer from a Me Too and Grog shop. If I have any trouble with you, I'll ship you back to Earth with a minus 50 efficiency rating. That clear?
That's clear, sir.
And don't get edgy with me. Sit down. Now listen, Tom, I'm easy to get along with. I like things done right the first time. Got to give a good example for the gooks.
Gooks?
Yeah, the natives. I don't know what's good for them. I brought in a high-grade silica yarn to replace a root fiber they were using in fishnets. Took me 3 months to talk them into using it.
I thought the Bureau policy was to avoid introducing Earth technology to stable cultures.
Yeah, that's what those boneheads at the main office say. They don't have to live here. Have you seen those pigsties they live in? There isn't a concrete building on the planet.
The Me Too and delegation, Mr. Coville.
Tell them I'm busy for 15 minutes.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll be going along then, sir.
Why?
Well, if you're busy...
Forget it. I always let those gooks wait at least 15 minutes. Softens them up. They're not hard to handle, if you know how.
I was assigned to pest control, a duty Coville considered beneath his dignity. In the next few weeks, I carted rat poison and insect spray through the poorest sections of Penolpan, where the trees ended and the plains stretched out to the Cookmount Mountains. It was there that I first heard of the Potters of Fersk. I had found a pottery bazaar, long shelves of jars of every size and shape, crocks, paper-thin vases, bowls, demijohns, tankards. The glazes were remarkable, deep, glowing colors. And yet, something was missing. I looked up and down the shelves.
Mr. Tom, is anything wrong?
No, it's just... I've got it. There isn't any yellow.
Yellow?
That's right. There are no yellow glazes at all. They have every other color. Ruby, green. There's a jar that's translucent, but no yellow.
Well, maybe it's a superstition.
Could be. Yellow might be connected with death or disease.
Well, you can find out, Mr. Tom. Here comes a Me Too, and she probably runs the place.
May I help you, sir?
Oh, you speak English.
I must. We trade with the Earth colony.
Your wares are very beautiful. For example, how much is this bowl?
75 credits.
That much?
They are our ancestors. And to sell them as cheaply as wood or glass would be irreverent.
Your ancestors? You mean the bowls?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Tell me, where's the pottery made? In Penolpan?
No, back there.
In the mountains?
There our ancestors go and the pots are brought back. Aside from this, I know nothing. The Mechun fear the potters.
Why?
No one knows what lies beyond the first hill, Earthmen. Sometimes we see the glow of furnaces. And when there are no dead for the potters, they take the living.
Living?
There are the potters now.
What are they shouting?
That they have sold all their wares. That they will ride back to the mountains now.
Hey, big devils, aren't they? Red hair.
They are very strong.
I think I'll visit the potters one of these days.
No, Earthman.
No, why not?
It is dangerous for you. They have guarded their secrets from all Penolpan. They are very fierce.
Tom, where the devil you been? I told you to get the estimates for that power plant.
I put them on your desk, sir.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so you did.
Say, what do you know about the potters back in the Cookmanks, Mr. Coville?
Huh? Oh, they're a tribe of bandits or something. Why?
I was at the bazaar today. A girl called the vases ancestors. It seems strange.
Ancestor? Well, it probably has something to do with religious death rites. They take away the dead bodies and cremate them for a fee or trade goods.
The girl said that when they don't get the dead, sometimes they take the living.
What? Well, so that's it.
What, sir?
Raiding. About every month or so, a couple of Me Too and turn up missing. The whole city clams up like tongue-tied parrots. For 2 years, I've been trying to track it down. Tom, these Potters must be behind it. Raiding, huh? Well, we'll see about that.
No, we don't know anything definite.
Well, we will. Get Werecheck to roll out the copter. We're flying out to those mountains. I'll put a stop to this if I have to blow him clean off the planet. We'll never find a village in that mess down there. Look at those cliffs.
There's a smoke trail over there to the right. Potters need kilns. Kilns need heat.
There's a volcano, not a chimney. Let's try out along that ridge, then we'll go back.
Wait, I think we found them.
Where?
At the base of the volcano. Look close. You can see buildings.
Yeah. Set her down.
Should we land, sir? They're supposed to be pretty rough on home ground.
We're official representatives of the system. Remember that.
That might not mean much to a tribal mountaineer.
Don't argue with me, Tom. Land. Get your pistol ready.
I don't see anybody. The village is deserted.
They're hiding.
It's the Potters, all right. There's a heap of old broken jars. But I don't see the kiln.
We'll stay here till something moves. What's that?
One of the Potters. Wait a minute. Here they come. Three of them.
You cover them, Tom. I'll do the talking. Hey there, you.
What brings strangers to the village of the Potters?
I'm Coville, chief of the Planetary Affairs Bureau in Penolpan. This is an official visit to see how things are going with you.
We make no complaints.
Oh? I've heard reports of you Potters kidnapping Me Tuan. Is there any truth in that?
There is an ancient agreement. The Potters are granted the bodies of the dead, and occasionally, when the need is great, we do anticipate nature by a year or two.
You mean you admit it?
The soul lives forever. In the bowl, it's beautified.
What do you mean? Look here, just what do you do with the corpses?
Our glazes require lead, sand, clay, alkali, spar, and lime. All but the lime is at our hand, and this we take from the bones of the dead.
I see. Well, we don't want to interfere in any native customs or rights. Corpses, that's between you and the Me Tuan. If you need lime, I can ship you in tons of it.
Natural lime is a poor substitute for fresh live bones. The spirit of the person is in the bones, and it passes into the glaze and gives it an inner fire.
You listen to me. I don't care what you use as long as there's no kidnapping or murder.
Tell me, Potter. I don't see any furnaces. Where are your kilns?
Our firing is done by the great monthly burn.
You mean the volcano?
Yes, Earthman. Once each month, the heat roars up white and glowing.
I see. Potter, why don't you ever use yellow glaze?
Yellow glaze? We have no metal to give the pure, rich yellow, the color of the sun. It is strange, Earthman, that you talk of the yellow. For my people have sought the sun glaze for thousands of years.
Listen, if there's any technical help you people want, that's my business. But there'll be no more murder. If necessary, I'll put a stop to the potting altogether.
Your words are not friendly.
Don't think I can't do it. I'll drop an atom bomb down the throat of your volcano and cave in the whole mountain.
We'd better pull out, Mr. Colville.
Shut up, Tom. You understand? My job is to protect everyone on this mudhole planet. And that includes the Me Too.
Get back in the copter, Mr. Colville. They're getting ugly.
Fire over their heads. Keep them back.
Quick, get in, sir. They're scared now, but in a minute they may jump us.
All right, let's go. Don't worry, Tom. Now those gooks know who's boss. Now, sir, we won't have any more trouble from the Potters.
Coville kept me pretty busy the next few weeks, but I got to spending a good deal of time at the Pottery Bazaar with the girl. Her name was Sue Thin. She was interested in everything I had to tell her about the rest of the galaxy, and I was lonely, so I got to looking forward to my visits there. I was on my way there one evening when suddenly I heard shouts down the side streets. I hurried toward them, pulling out my gun. And then I heard the deep cry of the giant potters and the crack of hooves on the cobbled streets. Suddenly, a group of riders burst around a corner and charged down on me. When they were gone, I hurried to the Pottery Bazaar. Sue Fenn was gone.
Earthman! Earthman! She's not here. They took her.
The Potters?
She has gone to her ancestors.
Did they kill her?
No, they have taken her to the hills. but soon she will live forever, her spirit wrapped in the glorious glaze.
So then?
There is nothing to be done. When the potters take you, it is the end.
I've been raiding again, huh?
Pour me two in tonight.
Bring the copter around in front.
It's ready.
Tom, I'm going to break out the atom bomb from the arms locker. You fly out there and drop it down that volcano crater. I'll teach those murdering devils a lesson they won't forget.
But the meat
they'll come crawling to the city on their hands and knees. I know how to run this planet.
Dimension X will continue in just a moment. Friends, this is Frank Martin, the Wheaties man, and I want you to know an associate of mine, Ed Prentice.
Okay, Ed. Folks, I'd like to have you meet a good friend of mine and a prominent member of a fine little organization known as the Chicago White Sox, Mr. Lucius Benjamin Affleck.
Ooh, Ed, don't say it like that. Whoever heard of a ball player named Lucius? What if I went around calling you Paul Edward Prentice? Let's just make it Ed and Luke, huh?
All right, Luke. Say, just how long have you been with the White Sox?
Over 20 years, Ed. Golly, I've played in darn near 2,500 games. Been at bat almost 9,000 times. Man, I'm from way back.
Well, Luke, you don't look it. How do you keep up the pace, anyway?
Well, Ed, I sleep good. I eat good. I eat mighty good. Wheaties about four mornings a week. Those little old flakes put a lot of snap, even in an old-timer like me. Must be because they're 100% whole wheat. I sure like Wheaties and milk and fruit.
You know, Luke, that's exactly what I hear from a lot of ball players and plenty of other people, too. No wonder they call Wheaties the breakfast of champions.
Thank you, Mr. Prentice and Mr. Luke Affleck of the Chicago White Sox. Mighty nice of you to say those good things about Wheaties. Now, folks, you and I may not be playing baseball for a living, but we can use those whole wheat Wheaties, too. Step around to the grocery tomorrow yourself for Wheaties, breakfast of champions. Breakfast for you.
There's the village widow, Chick. Swing over it.
Shall I pull the safety on the bomb?
No, hold it.
But Mr. Cole said...
I know what he said. They got a girl down there, and I'm going to get her out alive. And I'm going to start by trying to talk with that 7-foot red-headed potter. All right, widow, Chick. Set her down right in the middle of Main Street. Have your gun ready, widow, Chick.
Here they come.
Tall one, the chief.
So, this is the insolent lordling again.
Come on, out of the copter.
Good. We are in need of bone lime, and yours will suit us well.
They're closing in, Mr. Tom.
Prepare your soul for the great burn.
Stand back. I'll kill a lot of potters, and you'll be the first. I've come for the four Me Too and that you took from Pinole Farm. You don't seem to understand that we can punish.
We can kill you before you can do much damage. We potters do not fear death. Death is merely eternal meditation from the grass.
Potter, listen to me. I didn't come here to threaten, but to bargain. You have a Me Too and girl. Is she still alive?
She still lives.
Chief Colville gave me orders to destroy your volcano. We can do that easily. If I'm harmed, the next bomb will drop on your village. I've come down here against his orders to bargain.
Bargain? With what? We care for nothing but our craft.
Potter... I can give you the secret of the yellow glaze.
Empty words.
No, the truth. In exchange, I want the girl and the other Me Too and you've stolen, and your word not to raid again.
How would we get lime?
We've told you. We can ship it in. Pure lime, as good as yours. Do the potters of Pursk want the yellow glaze?
Why, that has been the goal of the tribe of potters for 1,000 years.
And if I show you the yellow glaze?
Earthmen. If it comes clear through the burn, I agree to your bargain. If it does not, your spirit will be lodged forever in the ugliest bowl we can spin on the wheel.
It's a bargain. All right, we're a check. Disarm the bomb.
Disarm it? Mr. Tom, are you crazy? They'll kill us. There'll be nothing left to stop them.
Nothing but the yellow glaze.
Yeah, but do you know how to make it?
We'll soon find out. I've been doing a little reading on the subject lately.
Reading? Holy smoke.
Enough, Earthman. I will take you to the potter's shed. If your glaze is the bright yellow of the sun, you live. If not, you die.
Come on, Renacek. Let's get to work.
With what? You never made a glaze in your life. What are we supposed to work on now? Our last will and testament?
Who's that?
Susan.
Are you all right?
Yes. Why did you come? They will kill you too, Earthmen.
Maybe. How did you get in here?
When I heard that you were here, I asked the Chief Potter to come. He said it would not matter. They would have all our bones soon.
Cheerful, Zoe. Hey, stir this, Werecek.
Yes, sir.
They said you were trying to make the yellow glaze. Oh, Earthmen, we will die.
This goo may turn out yellow. It had better.
No one on Fersk has been able to make it.
But I'm not from Fersk. Hang on, Suthan. We're not dead yet.
Earthmen, I am glad you came. Although I wish you had not.
Suthan. All right, Werecek. Call that redhead. Tell him I got his glaze ready.
Hey! Hey, you out there.
Earthman, are you ready?
Here's your glaze. Test it.
You have 6 bowls of glaze.
I'm no potter. This stuff ought to turn out yellow, but I can't be sure in one mixture.
We will coat 6 tablets, one with each glaze. Then we will fire them.
How long will it take?
20 hours before you know if the burn has brought you life or death.
How long can they keep that up? It's been hours.
The tiles ought to be done soon.
Earthman, here comes the Chief Potter.
It must be time.
The tiles are cooled. It is time now to open the kiln and test your glaze. Our bargain has been made. The glaze is yellow or you die. I will open the kiln.
How are they? Mr. Tom?
I can't see inside. It's dark. All right, Potter, pull them out. What are you waiting for?
I will remove the first tile.
No.
A dull, dirty brown, Earthman.
Pull out the next one.
The color of mud.
Now, wait a minute.
What is the use? There is no yellow glaze.
Get that next tile out. We made a bargain.
Mrs. Earth Brown, your glazes are worse than the feeblest work of our children. Prepare your spirits for the great burn.
Now, wait. Look in there. The next tile. Get it out here.
Earthman, you waste time.
Well, I'll get it out myself. There, look at it.
Yellow. Bright, shining yellow.
There it is. The yellow glaze.
Tom, where in thunder have you been?
Mr. Colville, I've been trying...
I sent you out on business which should take 2 hours and you stay 2 days. Why?
I got the 4 Me2 and back, and I made a contract with the Potters. No more raiding.
You what?
I made a deal with them, and it turned out to be a better idea than yours.
You disobeyed. You deliberately... Tom, you're through here. Through with planetary affairs.
Listen, Mr.
Colville. The man can't be trusted to carry out orders. He's not worth a lead nickel to the Bureau. Get your gear together. Leave on the next ship out.
Yes, sir.
Wait. You're on company time to 4 o'clock tonight. Until then, you obey my orders. Take the copter back to the hangar. Bring the atom bomb back to the armory.
I can't.
What?
I've been trying to tell you. There's only one way I had to make that yellow glaze.
Tom, what the devil have you done with that bomb?
I gave it to the Potters.
What?
It was a uranium salt that made the yellow glaze. The Potters didn't have any, so I gave them the uranium out of the bomb. That was part of the bargain.
What? You gave that murdering tribe of gooks that uranium?
You heard me. And if you think you could have used it better by blasting them out of that mountain, you're crazy.
Why, you abysmal, blasted imbecile. That's the only bomb we had. Those Potters could tear Penolpan off the face of the planet.
If you want that uranium, Colville, you can go out and get it. And if I'm fired, I'm through now.
Why, you fresh mutt, you yellow-livered louse. I ought
to
kill you.
If you asked me, I'd say it'd be dangerous business trying to get that uranium back now.
We're a check. We're a check.
Yes, Mr. Colville. Yes, sir.
Get the copter fueled. Get me a double holster and a full bandolier of ammunition.
Yes, sir.
Tom, when I get back, I'll see that you rot in the deepest cell in the Gallatin Tower. I'm going out now to those hills. I'm going to bring in that uranium myself.
Two days later, Wiracek came into my office. His face was pale. His hand shook with excitement.
He's here, Mr. Tom. He's here.
Colville?
No, the Chief Potter.
The Potter? Bring him in.
Should I call the guard?
Just bring him in. Well, Potter, I was just going to the mountains to see you.
Earthman, does that bargain we made still stand?
Just a minute. First, I want to know what happened to my chief. He has not returned.
A madman came to the village of the Potters. He said you had no authority. He said he could not allow the Potters to keep the heavy metal that makes glaze like the sunset.
What happened to Colville? Tell me.
There was violence. He killed 6 good wheelmen. He was captured. I come to find whether our contract is good.
Captured. All right, Potter. The contract is good. It is bound by my word and by the word of my great chief back on Earth. But only if Colville is returned. He must be brought back.
Good. Then to seal the bargain, I have brought you the first bowl made with the new yellow glaze.
It's a beautiful vase, Potter. And now, about returning Colville.
It is done. The madman is a lucky man indeed, for his spirit dwells in the brightest glass ever to come from the Great Burn.
You mean that Colville...
Here. I return him to you. The fiery soul of the madman has given luster to an already glorious glaze. He will live forever in the shining light.
On the desk stood a yellow bowl, and the beauty of its shape was matched by the intensity of the glaze. A glorious, transparent yellow, glare of a volcano's core. Tonight, Dimension X has transcribed The Potters of Fersk, written by Jack Vance and adapted for radio by Ernest Canoy. Featured in the cast were Carl Weber as Michael Tom, Wendell Holmes as Colville, and Raymond Edward Johnson as the chief of the Potters. Your narrator, Norman Rose. Music by Albert Berman. Engineer, Bill Chambers. Dimension X is produced by Van Woodward and directed by Edward King. Tomorrow, hear Sam Spade. Now, it's Truth or Consequences on NBC.
Dimension X, from July 28th of 1950 on NBC, The Potters of Fersk. It's the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you'd like to get in touch, our email address is qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And our blog and website can be found at qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. If you'd like the playlist or streaming audio for this episode, please look for Upstate Radio Theater, Program 1917. We'll conclude the hour with an episode of the long-running radio series Screen Guild Theater. This was one of many radio series to adapt popular movies for radio broadcast. This episode, Program 344 in the series, first aired on CBS on April 21st of 1947. Starring Bob Hope, Frank Sinatra, and Lucille Ball, it's their adaptation of the 1940 film Too Many Husbands.
Good evening. evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players and Somerset Moms' hilarious comedy about a shipwreck, a courtship, and an extra wedding. Too Many Husbands. It stars Bob Hope as husband number one, Frank Sinatra as husband number two, and Lucille Ball as the long-suffering wife. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Too Many Husbands. A year ago, Bill Cardew took a solo cruise in a ramshackle boat and disappeared from the face of the earth. His widow, Vicky, married Henry Lowndes, Bill's partner in the candy manufacturing business. This evening, Vicky picked Henry up at the office, and they are just returning home after dinner and a show. Peter, the butler, meets them at the door.
Good evening, madam. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Peter.
Hiya, Pete. Got a fire going for
us?
Yes,
sir.
Attaboy. Now you can trot along and throw yourself into the hay.
Very good, sir.
Say, you still reading that mystery, the case of the marinated corpse?
I completed it this evening, sir.
You did, huh? Who knocked off the victim?
The butler, sir.
Oh, well, I'll come up later, Pete, and lock you in.
Very good, sir. Oh, I beg your pardon, madam.
Yes, Peter?
I neglected to mention that a gentleman called while you were gone and left this message. I took it down verbatim.
Oh, you're getting sloppy, Pete. Next time, take it down word for word.
Very good, sir.
Thank you, Peter. That will be all. Now, what gentleman could be calling me?
Oh, you must have met one once. Read the message.
Just got in on a tramp steamer. Will be there as soon as the Department of Health scrapes off my barnacles. Bill. Now, who could that be? Bill! No, it can't be. He's dead.
Of course he's dead. It must be a joke.
Oh, Henry, it can't be a joke. He must have been rescued somehow.
Well, so what? Who cares?
Don't you realize that he thinks I'm still his wife, not your wife?
That's peachy. Looks like you started getting married and forgot to say when.
Oh, you'll have to break the news to him, Henry.
Pardon me, madam, but the gentleman who called is here. He says...
One side, Jeeves. Vicky, come to Papa.
Oh.
Well, kiss me, baby. Now another one. One of those was in the script.
Oh, Bill, are you really alive?
Still some doubt about it. Okay, let's take it again. Another one, huh? Shame it's only a half-hour show. Cuddle up close, Vicky. Ah, that's wonderful. Let's just stay like this until Take It or Leave It comes on the air.
Oh, but that's next Sunday, Bill.
Well, what's a good Saturday show? If there's an echo in here, it's got an awfully sore throat.
That's Henry, Bill. Say hello to Henry.
Hi, Henry. Say, keep cuddling, kid. Gosh, it's good to be back.
Oh, Bill, I still can't believe it. How did you get back? What happened?
Oh, really nothing to it. My boat just sank in the middle of the ocean. I wise-mulered to the desert island. Yes, I just wise-mulled right through there. That was me. And for almost a year, all I ate was fish. Nothing but fish.
Did you have a man Friday?
No, on Friday, more fish.
Bill.
Oh, I'm not in such bad shape. Look at these muscles. Know how I got them?
How?
Well, the only thing left to my boat was 10-foot of chain in the anchor. I used it for a yo-yo. You want to look at my muscles, Henry?
No, thanks. The doctor told me to avoid excitement.
I see. Incidentally, Hank, old man. Hank, old man.
Yes?
Isn't it a little past your bedtime? Your Ovaltine must be boiling by now.
Oh, I don't know. I guess I could manage to stay up a little while longer.
Oh, don't force anything, kid.
Hello, Bill, tell us some more about your experiences. Your message said that you got picked up by a steamer, tramp.
That's tramp steamer and cut it out. Well, see you tomorrow, huh, Hank? Come on. Come on, Vicky, honey.
Bill, I think Henry has something to tell you.
More? This kid's getting to be quite a chatterbox. Okay. Okay, son, tell me, but remember, we're on the air.
Hardly know where to begin.
Well, I bet it's something about business, huh?
Oh, sure, that's it. Remember our best-selling candy?
You bet, the All-Day Delight?
That's right, the sucker that improves your pucker. And do you remember Peanut Rapture, the bar with glamour and every goober?
Yeah.
Well? Well, sir, there used to be 11 and a half peanuts in every bar, and I've cut it down to 10 and a half.
No!
Yes, and I've got the slogan... Watch for the day, the 7th of May.
Oh, great work, Hank, and good night.
Bill, Henry has something really important to tell you, and he'd better tell you now.
And it better be important. Come on, let's hear about it.
Well, I'm married, Bill.
No fooling. Who's the screwy bride? No, wait, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Let me guess. Myrtle?
No, you see...
Agnes, Bertha, Carolyn, Daisy, Elma, Frances, Gracie, Hildegard, Imogene?
Was Henry acquainted with all those girls?
Are you kidding? Dorothy Dix used to write to him.
Oh, wait.
I can't get over it, Hank. Gosh, some of these days you might even become a father.
So that's the kind of a man I married, a wolf.
Yeah, he's the biggest... What? Who married?
Bill, old man. I've got something important to tell you.
Oh, so that's it. You've been hanging around here like a salami in a delicatessen because you live here, huh? You're her husband.
Well, I'm the nice one.
I can't believe this, Vicky. Did you really marry him, or did you just miss a question on truth or consequences?
But I thought you were dead, Bill, and I was lonely.
Lonely? Why didn't you join the Elks or something?
Can't you understand? I loved you so much that when they told me you were dead, I went all to pieces and married Henry.
Thanks for the fanfare, kid.
Well, I didn't mean it that way, Henry. You've been wonderful to me.
Oh, I understand, Vicky. I'm out of your life, forgotten. You found happiness, and I'm just a gopher in the garden of love. All right, I'll go.
Oh, please, Bill. We don't feel that way about you at all, do we, Henry?
Oh, I don't know now. I think he's got hold of something there.
Now, well, you've got one too many husbands. You'll just have to trade one of us in to Madman Muntz. Make up your mind, Vicky.
Not now, Bill. We're tired and upset. Let's get a good night's sleep and face the problem in the morning. Henry, you will sleep in the guest room with Bill. Good night, my men.
And this is what I dreamed about on that desert island.
Come on, lover boy.
So this is the guest room. My, my.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, it's gotten frillier since I was here. Used to be a room where a man could undress without feeling ashamed. How about a pair of pajamas? Any of mine left around here?
Nope. I gave all your stuff to a tramp.
And on you it looks good. Where do I sleep?
There's the bed.
You mean we've got to sleep in the same bed?
Aren't these tears in my eyes telling you?
I'm the guy who's got trouble. Last time I slept with you, I woke up black and blue.
That's the night I dreamed I was taking chances on the punch board, remember?
Yeah, this is quite a bed. No wonder you're so puny, Henry. You haven't been eating your grape nuts.
Well, how do you know?
You sneaked them upstairs and put them in this mattress.
Why don't you stop beefing? Was there a nice, comfortable bed on that desert island?
Well, no, nothing but palm trees.
Okay, so there's a chestnut tree in the yard. Go out and hang on your tail. Who is it, a friend or another husband?
Come in.
I thought I'd see if you boys were all right.
Oh, I can't complain. Of course, I could use a pair of pajamas. The water on my knee has just turned into a popsicle.
Oh, poor Bill. Where are your pajamas, Henry?
I won't tell.
Now, I know they're in the second drawer. Go on, get a pair for Bill.
Oh, all right. But they'll be much too big for you, white guy.
You get it. Vicky, this is the first chance I've had to tell you how wonderful I am. I mean, how wonderful you are. Look, forget about Henry. You'll have to forget about one of us anyhow. I hear they're going to start rationing husbands.
Hey, what are you whispering about?
We weren't whispering.
No, I was just showing you where a barracuda bit me.
You mean where he bit your back?
Well, a fella's got to eat.
Please, Bill, I don't want my husbands to quarrel. Give him the pajamas, Henry.
Here, take them.
Well, good night, boys. I just wanted to be sure you were all right.
Hey, wait a minute. I don't feel very good.
No? What's the matter?
Oh, deadly tropical fever. I've got it all through my body.
Couldn't think of a better place for it.
Put your hand on my head, Vicky.
All right. Why, it's not at all hot, Bill.
It will be. Just keep your hand there.
Hey, you know, I don't feel so good myself.
You don't? Stick out your tongue, dear.
Well, that's no fun. You held his head.
You know, I don't believe either of you are a bit sick. Now go to sleep and we'll settle everything in the morning. Good night, boys.
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
Once each year, you wake up in the morning and it's your birthday. A special day to be celebrated just for you. But did you ever stop to think that your skin has a birthday every day? Skin specialists will tell you that every day your skin gradually sheds part of its outside layer, and down underneath a new, fresh skin is born. Isn't that remarkable? Your skin is always trying to make itself lovelier. But it needs your help because it has an insidious enemy, a stubborn film caused by natural oils mixed with cosmetics and dirt. You can't see or feel the stubborn film, and ordinary cleansing methods fail to remove it. You think your skin is clean when it isn't. But there is a safe, sure way to get rid of that stubborn film, and here it is. Smooth on my unique Lady Esther four-purpose face cream and wipe it off. Immediately, and this is so important, apply Lady Esther cream again and wipe it off. This second cleansing with Lady Esther gets rid of that stubborn film. Now your skin is really clean, and instantly you see the difference, the clearer, fresher, younger look, the new softness and smoothness. Give your skin this wonderful chance to grow lovelier every day. Remove that stubborn film every night, my safe, sure Lady Esther way.
And now Lady Esther presents the second act of Too Many Husbands, starring Lucille Ball, Bob Hope, and Frank Sinatra. It is now the following morning. Bill and Vicky are at the breakfast table. Henry has not yet appeared.
Coffee, dear?
Thanks. Fine thing. My first night home and I sleep in the guest room.
How many lumps?
About eight. Where'd you get that mattress anyway?
I wonder what's keeping Henry.
Well, he's pretty tired. He stayed up all night to watch me.
Really? What for?
I walk in his sleep. Pass me some more of that puffed rice, huh?
Oh, good morning. How did you sleep, Angel?
Great lover.
I'm talking to Vicky, Icky.
Peter, you may bring in Mr. Lowndes' breakfast now.
Yes, madam. Good morning, Mr. Lowndes. Here are your eggs, sir. Shall I serve them?
You look silly hatching him.
I think he can do it. You know that, don't you?
Are you sure six eggs would be enough, old man? We can always put a couple of more chickens on the swing shift.
Why don't you lay off? Why can't you let a guy enjoy a quiet breakfast with his wife?
Don't forget that she's my wife, too.
Why, Peter.
I'm frightfully sorry, ma'am. I guess I'm a bit old-fashioned.
Oh, you mean what Mr. Cardew just said.
Yes, madam. The arrangement does sound rather sophisticated.
Well, it really isn't, Peter. You see, Mr. Cardew is my first husband.
Oh.
Yeah, he was supposed to have been drowned at sea, but wasn't, unfortunately.
No, I wasn't. You see, I had too much to go on my Pepsodent contract, and the Lever brothers swam out and saved me.
Really?
You see, Peter, this is a very involved problem, and I'm afraid it's only the beginning.
Oh, madam, not a third one.
No, I haven't thought of that, but I can see how it could be habit-forming.
Well, I once knew a young woman who collected seashells, and it got a dreadful grip on her.
Well, tell us more, Peter.
Pull yourself together, Pete. The whole thing will be settled by tomorrow.
I hope so, sir. Either one of you gentlemen goes or I go.
Oh, stop acting like an old maid.
It's not that, sir. I simply won't shine four shoes every morning.
Everybody's got a union, isn't it?
I wait your...
Thank you.
There, you see.
Thank you, Peter.
Even Peter is shocked. Even Peter is shocked because I have one husband too many, and we've got to do something about it.
You're right, Vicky. I'll kill Henry this afternoon.
Darling, you've got to choose between us, and I'll help Bill pack.
Oh, I didn't sleep a wink last night. I just tossed in bed thinking and thinking and thinking. And finally I decided that...
Yes?
That I couldn't make up my mind.
Oh.
But the time has come. I must make a decision now.
Good. Good. And I hope the loser will have the decency
What'd
to join
the...
I said good, and I hope the loser will have the decency to join the Foreign Legion. Tell me, Bill, if
What's
you
that?
Lose, will you join the Foreign Legion?
Will I do what?
Will you join the Foreign Legion?
Well, I'll meet you halfway. I'll go down to the library and read Beau Jest.
Stout fellow, aren't you?
Please,
just the way this
boy,
suit fits. Stop
please.
That.
Now, just sit there, both of you, and don't say a word. Just let me look at you a little while.
Well, look at us, Vic.
Vicky, darling, while you're deciding, I only want you to remember that I came to you in your darkest hour and gave you all the love in my heart. And I only want you to remember that.
Honey.
And that our life together... and that our life together, if you choose me, will be as happy as it is in my power to make it. I thank you.
No, don't give him the Oscar yet. Wait a minute.
Oh, Henry.
Oh, what a speech. Isn't that nice? He did it up so well, didn't he? Hello, Vic.
Henry.
What, honey?
Henry, you're
what,
so
Henry?
Sweet.
Oh, that's Hen, yes. Yes. That's you, Henry. Listen, Vicky, all I want you to... It's a grand line. I don't know why I ignore it like that. All I want you to remember, Vicky, is our first hour together in the tunnel of love at Coney Island. And you swam back. You were peachy.
Oh, dear, this is so difficult. If only one of you were good-looking or intelligent, it would be much easier.
My agent read this stuff.
That's right.
Intelligent, eh? Say, William, old man.
Yes?
You don't happen
Where'd
to know
you
how
go?
To... Oh. You don't happen to know how to...
Yes, sir. Yes, Hen.
You don't happen to know how to spell pithecanthropus by any chance.
Can you say that on the radio?
Yes.
Pithecanthropus.
I'll repeat it for you.
Is that a California town? Pithecanthropus,
no,
yes.
Pithecanthropus.
I like the way you say it, too.
Yeah, pithecanthropus. It is the missing
Awful
link.
Awful time to get lower plate wobble, isn't it?
You know what it is,
Let's
don't
go.
You?
Let's go. Bill just reached for his razor blade. But what is it? What is you know, it? What's
it's
that?
It's the missing link between man and ape. How do you spell it?
C-R-O-S-B-Y.
Now, you see? You see, Vicky? With me, big words are everyday conversation.
Yeah, well, with me, it's muscles. Can you jump over the breakfast table?
Huh?
You heard me. Can you jump over the breakfast table?
What for? I can wait till the butter comes around to me.
Yeah. Well, I say you can't. Not that it's anything to a man of my athletic prowess.
Well, if there were a reason for my jumping over the table, I could do it, too.
Watch this, you armchair athlete. Give me a little room, Vicky. Here I go. Remember me? I'm the one that jumped. We better get off the air before the sound man destroys himself. Who left that tall spoon in the coffee cup?
I don't believe you made it, old man.
Bill, darling, are you hurt?
Oh, my. Yes, I am. Hey.
What?
What's that on the floor right there?
Why, it's just some puffed rice, dear.
Thank goodness. I thought it was my teeth.
Playing games, oh, this is hopeless. I can see right now I'll have to separate you two boys. That's the only way I'll ever come to a decision. It's like old times, isn't it, Bill?
Uh-huh.
Remember how we used to walk in this park together when I was married to
you?
Yeah,
this is what I get for going away and letting you fall into the clutches of a rat like Henry.
Oh, please, dear, you're talking about my husband.
What do you think I am, Uncle Ramus? It was hard enough on that awful island a whole year just thinking about you, remembering the way you used to kiss me.
Put your arm around me, Bill.
One night I dreamed we were getting married all over again. You had the same ribbon in your hair. You wore the same leopard skin coat. I put my arms around you. I kissed you, and then I woke up.
Oh, poor Bill.
And the dream was so real, even after I woke up, I thought I was still kissing somebody in a leopard skin coat. I was, too. A leopard.
Put your arm around me again. Kiss me. Oh, Bill, I haven't felt this way since you drowned.
Will you quit calling me dead? I ain't dead. I'm just holding this expression till they pay off my life insurance.
Now I know, Bill. It's you I love.
Oh, hooray! Tonight we celebrate.
Oh, but one of us will have to be brave and tell Henry.
Well, let me know what he says.
Oh. Poor Henry.
Yeah, poor Henry. Well, at least he'll have the peanut bars. We'll give him the whole goober business. Just think, 20 million nuts to him. Just think.
Why, darling, what are you doing here at the office? Don't tell me you're taking an interest in the candy business.
Henry, there's something I must tell you.
Say, I'm sure glad you dropped in because I've got something to tell you, too.
Oh, but this is important.
Well, so is this, darling. Listen.
Time after time, I tell myself that I'm so lucky to be loving you. lucky to be the one you run to see in the evening when the day is through. I only know what I know. The passing years will show. You have kept my love so young, so new. And time after time, you'll hear me say that I'm so lucky to be loved. That's
how I feel, Vicky. Now, what did you want to tell me?
Only that I love you, Henry.
That's the way to talk. Tonight we celebrate. Tonight we tell the whole world.
Yes, darling.
Wait till Bill hears this. Ow! He'll cut off his curly hair and weave himself a new mattress.
Oh, poor Bill.
Yeah. Poor Bill.
For a memory.
Just a second. What are you doing here? All right, one at a time. What are you doing here?
I have a date with Vicky.
You have a date with her. That's a pretty good kid. Yes, sir. That's pretty good there, boy.
I hope so. Oh, I get it. She hasn't told you yet, huh?
Told me what?
Well, Bill, Vicky decided this afternoon, and we're going to get married. And you can either divorce her or die again, but this time you've got to do a better job.
Look, am I crazy? Henry, this afternoon, Vicky promised to marry me.
Holy smoke, you too?
Don't you see? She handed us both the same routine.
Well, how do you like that? I'll be a...
You always have been, old boy. Now, look. What do we do now?
She isn't worthy of either of us, Bill.
You're right, Henry.
After all, she's only a woman, isn't she?
That's all.
Why, there must be a million others just as attractive.
Sure.
100 million.
You bet.
What's she got that any other woman hasn't got?
Nothing.
Not a thing.
That was fun. What do we play now?
Bill, old man, we've got to stick together.
Yes, sir. You're right, pal. What do you say she doesn't get either of us?
It's a deal, Pod. When she comes in, we walk out. Together.
Shake. I always wanted to see the Sahara Desert. Now I'll see it with you.
Remember now, solid front, pal.
You said it, pal. Hello, Vicky.
Why, Bill. Oh, and Henry. Both of you.
Yes, Vicky. Henry and I have talked things over. You've toyed with us, Vicky, like an octopus toys with a... what is an octopus toy with?
Another octopus.
You know, he's studied, hasn't he?
But I didn't mean to toy with you. It's just that it's been so hard to choose.
Well, we've made the choice for you, darling. Henry and I are going to the Sahara.
Goodbye, Vicky.
Wait, you can't do this. Please, I'll decide.
This way to the Greyhound. This way here.
Goodbye, Vicky.
No, come back. Come back. Please come back.
Well, get a good night's sleep, Bill. We're taking a long trip tomorrow. See you in the morning.
Good night, Henry. Well, why not?
Bill.
Vicky, I had to come back. I had to see... Uh-oh.
Hello, Bill. I guess I beat you back from the Sahara Desert, huh?
Well, hold your hats, folks. Here we go again.
Thank you, Frank Sinatra, Bob Hope, and Lucille Ball for your delightful performances in tonight's play.
I have the boys' permission to speak for them, Mr. Bradley, in saying that we consider our yearly appearance on this program as one of the really enjoyable privileges of belonging to our profession. We are all familiar with the fine work being done by the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house, and we know that work is supported largely by this program. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Ball. Did you ever notice how much better you feel when you wear something that's just right for you? A hat that just suits the shape of your face? A dress that flatters you because it's just the right color? Your mirror says you look wonderful, so you feel wonderful. Well, so many women write and tell me they get that same wonderful feeling the moment they use my Bridal Pink face powder. Lady Esther Bridal Pink is such a romantic springtime shade. But the most amazing thing about it is its subtle and elusive quality of flattery, a mysterious quality that makes it right for four basic types of skin. No matter what the color of your hair, you'll see the exciting difference Bridal Pink makes to your own skin. If you're a blonde, Bridal Pink will dramatize your blondness, make your skin look softer, more alluring. If you're a brunette, Bridal Pink will intensify the contrast, make you look more romantic. If you're a brownette, Bridal Pink will lift up your whole appearance. And if you're a redhead, Bridal Pink will wake up your skin, give it the life and warmth it needs to go with your hair. The moment you see my Lady Esther Bridal Pink, you'll be anxious to try it. And when you do, you'll see how much extra flattery it brings to your skin.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild Players will present one of the funniest pictures of the year, Stork Bites Man. It will star Jackie Cooper, Anita Louise, and Gus Schilling. Be sure to listen. Too Many Husbands was produced and directed by Bill Lawrence and was presented through the courtesy of Columbia Pictures, producers of The Guilt of Janet Ames, starring Rosalind Russell and Melvin Douglas. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Lucille Ball appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Sea of Grass, starring Spencer Tracy, Katherine Hepburn, and Robert Walker. Bob Hope appeared through the courtesy of Pepsodent and is currently being seen in the Paramount picture My Favorite Brunette. Frank Sinatra appeared through the courtesy of Old Gold Cigarettes and can currently be seen in the Metro-Goldwyn musical It Happened in Brooklyn, also starring Katherine Grayson, Peter Lawford, and Jimmy Durante. You save enough on the largest size jar of Lady Esther face cream to buy a box of Lady Esther face powder. So, remember, ask for the largest size. Tonight's Lady Esther Screen Guild show is being heard by our servicemen and women overseas through the worldwide shortwave and network facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Next week, part of the country goes on daylight saving time. If your city remains on standard time, the Lady Esther Screen Guild show will be heard 1 hour earlier. Check your local newspaper for time. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
A bit of romantic comedy from the Screen Guild Theater. Their adaptation of Too Many Husbands from April 21st, 1947 on CBS. And that does it for this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. Please join me again soon for more classic sounds from radio's golden age. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.